Hello and welcome back. I am your host, Brad, and this is Better Vibes, the podcast where we discuss everything Better Fish, and hopefully you get some great information, or at least better than what you can find somewhere else. And today, I have some sad news. My fish, Cheesecake, one of my many fish. And now, if you've been listening along so far, I probably haven't really deep dived into my Better Fish overall and how many I actually have. Apart from, you know, I've got a sorority tank and a whole heap of males. When I say a whole heap, I've got about six or seven males, and I've got about six or seven females in a sorority tank. And overall, I also breed those fish. So currently, I still have about 80 crown tails at the moment that are getting on in age a little bit. I say getting on, they're a bit over 6 months old. And then I've got another lot, which are actually from my little guy, Hero. He is a black dragon, and if you heard that click, that's my fish tank lights turning off, and you probably hear the bubbles in the background. I'm doing this in my fish room, guys. So, yeah, it's always fun to be here with the fish and doing this sort of stuff. Which brings me into today's episode, which, of course, with the recent passing of Cheesecake, unfortunately, was getting on in age, and during the breeding process, which of course is quite intense, to put it simply, we did unfortunately lose the little guy. So our episode today is better care and behaviour, and when I'm talking about better care, I'm talking about general care of our fish generally to start off with, and the overall behaviour that, you know, can be a little off-putting from time to time. I went to feed a tank of fish the other night, which has one of my black dragons in there. His name is Pixel. I'll put some photos up on the website shortly of Pixel. And little old Pixel there, he had something hanging out of his mouth, and I thought there was honestly something wrong with him. No, he was just decided to get his own food for the day, and he's gone into hunting mode for snails. So, you know, it's he's had a successful hunt and had the internals of the snail hanging out of his mouth, and he thought he was the best in the world. If you asked him, he would have said, yep, that was yum-yums today. But we'll explore everything you need to know about the better care. Well, some of it. Anyway, because, like, once you get started, it is a big deep dive into how far everything can go, and no matter what happens, something is going to pop up from time to time, and it's going to send you for a six. All right. But let's start off very simple. Now, you're going to set up your tank. Now, what do I recommend as a beginner tank? And let's throw out and get rid of all those notions of what we all used to do. I'm 42, okay, guys? I'm almost 43. My first better fish that I ever had was in one of those tiny little, you know, probably not even 5-litre little bowls that you sit on your kitchen table and you all adore him, and there was no cycling of the water, and we'll get into cycling. And, you know, they never lasted that long, unfortunately, and it was all because we got told the wrong information, okay? I personally, and the aquarium industry here in Australia, should not be, and I do not, recommend anybody put any fish whatsoever in any bowl, full stop, all right? There's no room for fish in bowls. Now, on top of that, fish need filtration. And we also need to learn about the cycling of the tank and beneficial bacteria, which is a huge part, okay? This cycling is the most important step of any fish tank, and it is the worst step, okay? So you're going to go down to your local pet store, your aquarium. You may even buy your first tank online. Okay. What size tank? Let's start right there. What size tank do we have for a betta fish? Now, you will see out there in the market, there is heaps of brands that will label a whole heap of tanks as betta tanks. Stay away from these things, okay? None of these are big enough, in my mind, for any betta fish, with one exception. You'd want to be hoping and getting a extremely big finned Dumbo half moon or feather tail. Okay, these are the biggest finned fish there is in the betta family. And when it comes to Dumbo fish, they do not move very far. They do not move very fast. They are not great tank companions for a lot of other fish just because of their fin size and inability to actually move around. So that is the only exception to anything else that comes from here. And when I say that's an exception, I still recommend at least a 10 to 15 litre tank. My minimum for any single fish that I ever have is going to be 20 litres. Now, why do I say 20 litres? 20 litres is a idealistic size. You can put them in many locations. They're not that great of a footprint, which is awesome for everybody. Now, on top of that, they also are a little bit easier to look after. But when I say a little bit easier to look after, I'm talking about water quality. Now, the biggest thing when it comes to water quality is that the larger body of water that you have, the easier it is to actually look after any single fish or any group of fish, full stop. Because when you get a water quality change, which we'll go into a little bit further, and it's part of our cycle process as well, but when you get a water quality change, it will spike and become toxic to all fish in something less than a 20 litre tank, because you've got a lesser body of water, so that minor spike that you get is a greater amount as it happens. If you had, for instance, like I do, I've got some 200, 300 litre fish tanks. When I get a spike in those tanks, I don't even notice what happens because the water body is so darn big that it doesn't actually spike that much before everything else takes over and neutralizes it, and neutralizes it, which is awesome. But when we're talking less than 20 litres, they are notoriously hard for getting right, and they are a cascade of why so many people don't want to be in the aquarium hobby anymore. What is the best size tank for a betta fish to start with? 40, 50 litres, okay? Now, why do I say that? Easy. You can have a great community of fish. You can have some tetras, so neons, cardinals, some rummy noses. You can go down the line of rasboras, harlequins, and things like that. They're going to be a schooling fish that you could have potentially, especially if you're talking tetras of cardinals and things like that. In a 40 or 50 litre tank, you'll be able to have 10 tetras, and you'll be able to have your betta fish. And then you'll be able to also have maybe a snail or two, probably not a mystery snail. I'd be more looking towards ram's horn snails. And the reason I say ram's horns, yes, they do get out of population control if you're overfeeding, but they are also a good guide if you are overfeeding, because then they go out of population. But they are small enough that they don't have a big footprint. They don't have a big toxicity waste to them when it comes to everything else. But they do help with a little bit of cleaning, not very much, okay? What else can you have in there? You could also, in a 40 or 50 litre tank, have one bristlenose, okay? Bristlenose is going to help a lot more with your cleaning than what your snails would. So now you've got a little bit of activity with your tetras, and they're going to school in the middle of the kind of tank to the upper level of the tank water. You better, he's going to go everywhere. And he'll go and poke around, and then you might see, your bristlenose every now and again. And it doesn't matter what bristle nose you get, I would, with a better, always stay away from long fin bristle noses, because long fin may, the better may see it as something that it could potentially be territorial towards, and it may have a go at it. And even though bristle noses usually are very non-aggressive style fish, they do have a bit of a nasty side from time to time. Not that I've ever heard of one doing any major damage, but they do have some spikes that would not be good. Now, we've got our tank size down. The next thing that we need is a heater. Our tanks must be kept in between 24 to 28 degrees. They can go a little bit lower, 21, 22 degrees. Never go above 28. You will have some water issues that come with that. But they are a tropical fish. Where do our fish come from? If you listened to my last episode, they come from Asian countries. These tropical style countries have a lot water, lot warmer water than what we do. Don't say that five times fast, all right? Now, I mentioned a filter earlier. This is by far the most important thing. Now, there's going to be a couple of tips with this, so listen up, all right? Number one rule. Filter, doesn't matter what kind of filter you have. I recommend a sponge filter. Some people don't like it because you've got the air pump noise. But it is the most gentle flow with the most beneficial bacteria that you'll be able to get pretty much with any filtration system. Now, you can go with a hang on the back or an internal filter as well. If you're able to disperse that water using a baffle or which you can 3D print for a lot of the filters as well. If you know somebody with a 3D printer or you got one, you can always create a baffle. These things are free out there. Go to your favorite free site. You'll be able to find something that will be very close, if not fit perfectly, for your filter to disperse the water so it won't be a heavy flow. These fish are small. They come from very small, low-flow waters, and they are not the strongest swimmers in the world when it comes to swimming all day. A tetra, on the other hand, would love a high flow. They don't need a high flow, but they would love one. The most important thing is better fish are never to be in a tank with a canister filter. Canister filters are a high volume moving of water, so we don't want to put that on there whatsoever. Even if you disperse that flow, it is going to absorb a lot more overall. But number one rule is I love filtration that is done by an air pump. So your sponge filters usually are the best, and they can be found quite readily and usually work out a lot cheaper overall. Now, while we're talking about the filtration system, one most important trick that we're going to talk about a little bit further, but here's your tip from this, is that you never ever, no matter what kind of filter it is, run fresh water from your tap that is undecarbonated. So decarbonation water, if you have a carbon filter on your house and it is working well, you may be able to rinse it underneath there, but you don't want to rinse it in anything apart from the tank water itself. So when you do a water change, which we'll go into a bit further, you want to clean out that sponge filter or the sponge within any filtration system itself when you see a lowering of the water flow only. It is not a weekly task. It is not a fortnightly task. It is an as-required task. It takes 5 seconds. Take your sponge out. I like to put a Ziploc bag inside my tank, put the filter material inside the sponge so it, all that gunk doesn't go into the tank everywhere. And I'm able to lift that out, squeeze it into my water change water, clean it out, and then pop it back in. Done. Very simple. I love it. All right. Now, when we look at substrates, you can run any substrate you want whatsoever. Now, number one rule is gravel is your most common, easiest to come across, cheapest that you'll find. Sand, they don't care what's in the bottom. Sand is a little bit harder, especially if you want to grow some plants that are root-dwelling plants. They will not like growing through sand, so keep that in mind if you are going down the sand route. And, of course, if you're going down aquasoil and you're going to highlyscape, awesome. Couple of tips coming up for the aquasoil. When we look at our aquascape, so if you don't know what aquascape is, I'll have a whole episode on aquascaping later. But aquascaping is basically the art form of decorating your tank. There is actually championships around the world, so if you want deep dive into that, it is a plethora of lovely information that will keep you intrigued for hours, and you'll never feel like you've got it right, just so you know. If you like it, it's correct, okay? That's all that matters, as long as you're liking it. Did you reckon Picasso thought he was doing something awesome? You're the same. All right. But when we're talking about aquascape, we're talking about how rocks, leaves even, wood, plants, ornaments, whatever you may be putting in there is looking inside your tank. Many different styles, many different things to have. When we look at scapes, I run all different kinds of scapes myself. I like gravel. It's easy, great for beneficial bacteria in your tank. And on top of that, it's easy to grow plants in as well. All right. Rocks, stick to your inert rocks. Do not get rocks that leach any kind of minerals into the water, because that will be a deep problem that you'll run into. Okay. This is going to be quite a long episode, just so you know, everyone. All right. I might have to break this up into two or three. and woods. Please source your woods responsibly. If you are naturally sourcing them, do not go break branches off from trees. They will not work. They will not do good. They will kill your fish, unfortunately, because they will leach everything into the water that we don't want to have in there. Yes, it happens in the wild, but you've got to think of the body of water that that is sitting in. It's a lot different to your enclosed water, okay? So it's always best when starting out, get your wood from your aquarium or pet shop. It's naturally dried. It's all treated correctly, and it will not generally harm your fish. I say generally because there is one wood that I'm aware of, spider wood or spider vine, sorry, that will release the most amount of tannins that you've ever seen in your life, and you won't be able to see the back of your tank. I've put it in my tanks. It is a pain to start with. Looks magnificent. But yeah, all right. Make it happy looking place. Remember, if you're going to do something, bettas love caves. They like to hide. They like things to go underneath. So if you can create something along those lines, it's all good. There's no right or wrong to it. If you want to run SpongeBob in there, I don't care. As long as you're happy, it's a hidey spot for him, okay? Especially SpongeBob's house, all right? Now, plants. Great beginner plants are always Anubias. Anubias is great, hardy. I've got some that are many years old. I keep on splitting it off and it keeps on going wherever I put it. It is a slow grower though, so do not expect it to look different from month to month that much, okay? Java fern, a great plant. Love Java fern. Do some research on it. Java fern and Anubias, there is a great way, but both of them are rhizome plants, so you do not bury their roots. They get attached with either aquarium safe glue, so 100% cyanoacrylate glue, or there is aquarium glues that you can buy from your aquarium or pet shop, so go down and get them. All right, make sure you don't hurt the roots. You want to glue the rhizome, not the roots, okay? And attach them to, or of course, when we're attaching, doesn't have to be glue. You can use a zip tie if you want to until it attaches itself. You can jam it into a rock. You can jam it into a piece of timber, wherever you can find a spot. Or use 100% cotton. The cotton will dissolve over a long period of time. It'll hold it in place well until it's got its roots done. Perfect. Merino moss balls. Or Merino, sorry. Moss balls. Great moss balls. Some of my bettors like to push them around or at least try to. They look good. They kind of, I say they look good, but they're kind of like this blob. So more of a focal point. They're an interesting thing. Can't really kill them off, I'd like to think. And they do do a good job of helping with the filtration in the water. Now, a couple of other plants that I really love, of course, hornwort. Hornwort, very fast grower, so please be aware of that. And Amberulia, all right. Now, these are all very basic plants. Amberulia and hornwort are root-growing plants. But with both of those, they don't necessarily have to be in the roots or in the gravel, I should say. They will grow just floating in the tank. And in most of my tanks, I have floating hornwort because hornwort is an extremely fast-growing plant. Amberulia is a fairly quick-growing plant, nowhere near what a hornwort is. But these are extremely important to our water quality. All right. Now, the last thing that we're going to need for our tank is a aquarium light. Now, can you use any light? Yeah, I guess so. Now, if your light doesn't have a built-in timer, the most important thing to get is a timer on top of that. We only want to have somewhere in between 6 to 10 hours of light on our tank per day. Will create issues with quality of water from there if we don't have it. When I say quality of water, I mean that we will create algae. Yeah, just like putting it in front of a window, we will create algae. So you've got to keep an eye on that. Hornwort will help keep your algae down because it will be eating the excess nutrients that algae forms from. All right, so when it comes to our light and using, as I said, you could probably use any light. I have garage lights on some of my tanks because I have so many tanks, it's too cheap. In comparison to spending $100 to $1,000 on a light. Now, if you're setting up just one tank and you want to do it really awesome, spend the money, get a really good light for the tank. It's your choice. If you're just like me, just make sure that you're aiming for about 6,500K or Kelvin. 6,500 Kelvin is around about the idealistic. You want to be somewhere probably in the vicinity of 5,500 to 7,000 Kelvin. All right. Now, yes, it's only going to be a white light. It's not going to give you the best growth in the world, but you will have a good visual in the tank. Yes, you might get probably a little bit more algae sometimes, but generally less too. So, but let's have a little quick dive in before we go into anything else. And, you know, I'm going to change the title of this. We're not going to look at better care. We're talking about your first tank now, aren't we? So, let's have a look at cycling your tank. Now, this is by far the worst part. So, you've brought your tank, you've set it up, you've done your aquascaping. Everything's looking awesome, right? You put your water in there. You've added your beneficial bacteria, as you've been told. You've done everything. You've dechlorinated the water. Everything's looking awesome. You're like, let's go get a fish. No, you can't do that yet. It's an unfortunate thing, but no, don't. Unfortunately, you will kill any fish that you'll put in there within the first couple of weeks. And how is that going to happen? It's simple. It's called the nitrate cycle. Okay. Now, what happens is, unless you're using products like Seachem Safe and things like that, there is products out there that will keep it fairly safe, but it's a chemical nutrifying. I don't like it personally. It's my personal thing. I would prefer for you, everybody's tank, and the way I did it was to build up your beneficial bacteria yourself. Now, the nitrate cycle. So there's going to be a few things that happen through your nitrate cycle, and it probably sounds like I'm going back and forth a whole heap. I am a little bit, but let's just focus on the nitrate cycle, then we'll go into how we're going to get through it. So you've got your water in there. What's going to happen over the next possibly up to 8 to 12 weeks? Yep, you heard me right. 8 to 12 weeks, guys. This is the sucky part of your first tank. Okay. After this, I've got secrets. Message me. Email me. Jump on wherever. I'll tell you how to cycle a tank weekly. Now, the sucky part, yeah, we've got to wait for it to go through the cycle. So what happens in the cycling of your tank is basically that we're going to build up our beneficial bacteria. But to build up the beneficial bacteria, we've got to have other processes happen. Now, Dr. Timms talks about this all the time, and he's magnificent. So Google Dr. Timms and nitrate cycle. He will go into a very scientific point of view from it and how to do it his way. He has some great products. But what's going to happen is if you seed your tank, you get Dr. Timms, I know, has an ammonia chloride that you can add in to seed it, which will speed up your process. You can also seed it slowly with fish food. Now, fish food takes a long time to break down because what we want to happen is we want ammonia to build up in there. Now, how do we get ammonia to build up? As I said, Dr. Timms ammonia, or we seed it with a little bit of fish food every second or third day, one or two flakes. It's going to probably take 3 to 4 weeks for an ammonia spike to happen. Now, how do you read your ammonia spike? You need to get yourself a test kit, okay? Your test kit, don't just go buy a basic, you know, pH tester. That's not enough, all right? We need an ammonia test kit. We need a nitrite test kit, and we need a nitrate test kit, plus we need pH. Now, API does make this as a master test kit, all right? This is a good starting area, all right? But there is some add-ons that we need to that. I'll jump into that after we get through our cycle. Now, you're going to test for your ammonia to spike, and we're going to see this read off the chart. Literally, it's going to be above 5 parts per million, which anything above 0.5 of a part per million is deadly to the majority of fish. If it's not deadly, it will cause issues to their gills and create gill burn at a minimum for those fish for the rest of their life, which makes it very difficult for them to absorb oxygen from the water, all right? But as we're seeding the tank with our fish food, we're also adding in natural beneficial bacteria that you can purchase from most pet shops, and your aquarium store will definitely have a local version of beneficial bacteria, okay? And with this beneficial bacteria, it will start reproducing and start building up. As it's doing that, it eats the ammonia. Now, what happens when it eats the ammonia? Well, it turns into another product. The next one that I said before that we needed. We needed an ammonia test kit. Now we need a nitrite test kit. Don't get it mixed up with nitrate, because the ammonia gets eaten by the nitrite bug. I'm going to call them a bug. It's simpler. And when we have our nitrate come in and start eating that ammonia, which if you let it happen naturally, it'll probably be around somewhere in between 4 to 6 weeks, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less if you're lucky. And it will spike up and go crazy high as well. Once again, anything above 0.5 parts per million is going to be deadly to most fish. But as we see that go up, we'll also see our ammonia come back down because it's now converting it over to nitrite. And we keep seeding in our beneficial bacteria, all right? And what happens then is a week or two later after that, we're going to see our nitrate come in. Now, this is the final step of the process, which is amazing, because once we start seeing our nitrate come in, and don't panic if your nitrate spikes up, okay? If you've got plants in there, they're going to love this step, okay? Because your ammonia is almost down to zero, your nitrates is about to go down, and your nitrates are going to go up. You'll see these get up to around 40 to 80 parts per million, potentially. Mine didn't raise above 10 parts per million. How did that happen? I had plants in the tank. You're wondering how do plants help, right? Easy. Plants eat nitrate. A plant like hornwort thrives off nitrate. I mean, it goes nuts. So the more nitrate you have, the better it grows and the quicker it grows, but it also keeps it all under control because now it's converting it all. And now you've got no nitrates. So now our ammonia's come down, and we're probably in between 6 to 12 weeks at this point. Our ammonia's down to zero, and nitrites are down to zero, and our nitrate, which is the final step in it and the worst part of waiting for, is getting lowered by our plants, which is just amazing because who doesn't love when everything works? Now, this is the next key step. Everybody goes down to the aquarium right now when they see their parts per million under 20. Do it. That's fine. All right. But what you're going to do is you're going to do a small water change, 10 to 15%. All right. And you're going to add some small beneficial bacteria. Now, you can keep adding in your beneficial bacteria every time you do a water change, which is always good to do for quite a while, maybe up to the first year or so, to make sure that you're keeping on top of it. But what you're not going to do is you're not going to go down, no matter what size tank you got, you're not going to go down to your aquarium and go buy 20 fish and put in that 50-litre tank. Why? Because your tank's not ready for it. Okay? Keep life simple. We start off with 1 to 3 fish because your tank has to get used to it. If you go introduce too many fish too quickly, everything's going to go out of proportion because it has no fish in there. It doesn't know what to do with it. It doesn't know how to convert it quicker. You've got to build up that beneficial bacteria. Those nitrates have to get up. And that's what I mean by your beneficial bacteria, okay? The bugs that eat everything are your beneficial bacteria. And we've got to teach that, how to control. So you can go down and buy 1 to 3 fish, I said, and get that under control for, say, 2 weeks. 3 weeks is even better. 4 better again. And then go down and double it. Okay? Go get another 3 to 6 fish. Okay? And just take your time with everything. The longer you take to get your first tank set up, the better it's going to be. Okay? Make sure that you're taking your time. Now, I know I said this tank, this episode was about, better care and behaviour. I've completely just covered how to set up a first tank. Now, that's been 30 minutes of setting up your first tank. All right. It's just like setting up an aquarium. It takes time. Do it right. Look after your new friends. Okay? That's the most important thing. We're here to look after our friends. We're not here to hurt them. And we want them to be around for longer than what we think they could be. So a betta fish can live potentially up to 3 years in captivity without a problem. Some have been known to live for over 5. Okay? So there is absolutely no reason why you have to rush this. You're going to get many, many, many years of enjoyment out of it. And on top of that, if you are getting your betta fish from a great aquarium and you find it the one that you want before your tank's fully cycled, ask him one question. Do you put fish on hold? You might have to pay for it in full, but you're also putting it in their hands to look after, which should be the best people to look after it if it's an aquarium. All right, they've got hundreds, if not thousands, or tens of thousands in some cases, fish that they look after. So you put that fish on hold. When your tank's cycled, they will let you take it home, and you've already got your first fish that you've picked out, and it'll be your friend for a long time to come. Now, I was going to cover feeding and nutrition and water parameters and understanding betta behavior and enrichment and stimulation. Didn't get that far. We talked about just setting up your tank for too long. But before I go today, one great tip, and it's probably my favorite tip of everything, okay? buy yourself a Java fern, okay? Even if it's just one Java fern. Doesn't matter if it's a trident, your normal, big leaves, whatever, as long as it's a Java fern. Now, what you're also going to buy for it is a very small suction cup with a little kind of pincer on it, it looks like almost. Now, you'll find these near the replacement suction cups for the heaters. And with that, you'll just need one that's just about the right size or a little bit bigger than the rhizome on the Java fern. Put that about two-thirds to three-quarters of the way up the side of the tank or on the front of the tank, on the back, doesn't matter. It's got to be on the glass, on the side, and you're going to sit it there. And it's going to be on that suction cup. Why are we doing that? Simple. Fish get lazy. They like to lay around. You've probably seen it online. Silk hammocks that you can buy. This is an absolute 100% natural, almost, apart from the suction cup, way of giving your fish a hammock to lay on. It also gives them somewhere to hide underneath from the surface of the water, because they do like to go up to the surface of the water, but if they feel unsafe, they won't go up there sometimes. You give them a safe area near the top, give them somewhere to lay, they're going to interact with you a lot more, okay? That's my tip of this episode. I'm Brad, your host. This is Better Vibes. I hope that I see your tanks and how beautiful they look for your fish. I wish I had a speedier process, apart from Dr. Tim's. Look it up. Make sure you're following the instructions. Don't do anything wrong. But show me those tanks, guys. Enjoy, and I'll see you next episode.